Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of Carson's Corner with Bob Carson. Thanks again for joining us here today. We are coming to you in conjunction with Fight Sport, fightsport.net, a great, great website. And we have a great, great show for you today. I got to tell you, I'm super excited about today's show. In just a few moments, Bo Taylor, OMA, Bo One Man Army Taylor, MMA fighter, reporter, personality, self-proclaimed internet troll. He's going to be joining us here in just a few moments. And as I told you on last week's show, actually on Saturday, I told you with the UFC fight night, Bo Taylor OMA was the one that broke the Lee Mein story, where Lee Mein was arrested for sexual battery. He posted bail in the amount of $2,000, and he was banned from the UFC fight night. He was banned from cornering his son. Actually went on to score an impressive first round knockout over Mike Pyle. Wow, I mean, Jordan looked absolutely stellar in his performance, and his father wasn't there to see it. And, you know, something interesting I noticed is that we actually had Lee Mein on the show in 2008, when Mitch Clark, our then Canadian correspondent, actually interviewed Lee about some fights he was running in Canada. And very, very impressive stuff. And but just a real turn of events here. I mean, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. And so we want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But I got to tell you, it was really, really shocking to hear that sort of news, you know, coming, that sort of news taking place. Not good news, for sure, that anybody wants to hear. And Lee Mein is actually an MMA fighter, and it's really difficult to know what his record is. I mean, but he's, you know, a heavyweight fighter, a big guy, and, you know, we'll have to see what happens. We'll keep you posted. But OMA, Ball One Man Army Taylor, was actually the first person to report that, and he reported that on the underground forum. Okay, and you know, Lee Mein's father was arrested, and from what I read online, it really is some disturbing stuff regarding a maid at the hotel, and just really, really not good stuff. But as I said, we are all innocent until proven guilty. Even War Machine is innocent until proven guilty. So we have to keep an open mind about that, okay? And, you know, it was important because a lot of people were accusing OMA of trolling. You know, he really has a fun personality online, and a lot of people, you know, just think that if it's coming from OMA, it was it must be a troll clickbait headline. You know, you recall back in, I think it was 2009 or 2010, when OMA had the chemo death hoax that had everybody going. Of course, chemo, the legendary early UFC fighter, is alive and well. And, you know, it was the truth. It really was. And it's good to see OMA ahead on stories like that. Now, in our second hour, Tracy Snead is going to be calling in. You recall that he lost a highly disputed unanimous decision last week in Oklahoma, and he was on the show on Thursday talking about his fight with Comanche Boy. And from my understanding, I didn't see the fight, okay? So I just want to put that out there, that I did not see that fight. But from my understanding, Tracy Snead actually knocked him down in one of the rounds. Actually knocked him down, okay? And this is a guy who was coming off of a four-year layoff. And it really, a lot of people thought maybe it was too tough of him to make a 10-round fight, his first fight after a 4-year layoff. And let me read you something from what I believe is a press release by the promoter of the fight. This has been passed around on some of the boxing websites. It's a news article, but it clearly is from the promoter. And I want to, when Tracy calls the next hour, I may end up reading it to him. It's not well written, so forgive me for the errors here. But Comanche Boy cruises to a victory over Tracy Sneed. Comanche Boy was in control of the fight every round. Sneed was awarded a questionable knockdown in the third round. Comanche Boy rebounded by dominating every round with his speed and defense. This was Comanche Boy's first 10-round bout. It went the distance and was very confident in his conditioning. I don't know. You know, we'll have to get his, you know, the idea that it was a questionable knockdown. Again, I didn't see the fight, so I can't say one way or the other. But you know what? That sounds like it could be from a promoter that's trying to, you know, maybe protect Comanche Boy. Who knows? You know, another programming note here is that Comanche Boy actually may call in himself, and at which case we'll have him and Tracy on the program. That should be good. But another thing that I read, and we'll try to confirm this, is that there is supposedly a rematch clause within the contract, and so there is a good chance that these two will fight again within a 90-day period. We'll have to see if that happens, but you know, we'll keep our eye out for that. Tracy Sneed is supposed to be calling at the top of next hour, okay? And we're supposed to have Oma on the program. I wish I had Oma's phone number. You know, I lost all my contacts, and it's really depressing because I went in my old phone had so many legendary MMA fighters in my contacts. You know, it's like it used to give me a boat of confidence when I'd go through my contacts and I'd see like real famous names that everybody would recognize, even mainstream people that don't necessarily follow the sport as closely as perhaps some of us do would recognize some of these names. And then I left my phone in my pocket and I washed my pants and that was the end of it. I lost so many contacts. I used to have almost, you know, contact information. I used to have his phone number and I would be able to just to give him a call without any problems, but I don't have it. And so there's really, aside from Twitter, there's really no way I can get in touch with him. And so we're trying, maybe we'll try now to see if we can get in touch with him, because we told him that it was going to be 8 p.m. Eastern time. That is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because Oma's probably operating on a central time zone and whatnot. And, you know, I wanted to talk to him about a lot of stuff. You know, he really is really, I think, an important part of the sport. I don't think there's anything. He's also an undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, MMA fighter, someone who, you know, basically trains with some really good fighters and, you know, fought in MMA, which is not, you know, not a lot of MMA media figures have not done. And I'm not one of them, folks. I really, really, really am not one of them. But, you know, I was talking about the chemo death hoax, and a lot of people thought, hey, here I go again, you know, with Oma. But it was really an interesting strategy about how he went about releasing the news to the public. You know, a lot of what he did was being retweeted by some folks. You know, it's there was a guy, Front Row Brian, who retweeted. He retweeted the chemo death hoax, and you know, Front Row Brian is a guy that blurs the line between character and MMA media figure sometimes. I don't know. I don't really care for Front Row Brian. He's actually kind of a right-wing individual, which I could care less for. But I'll happily debate anybody about my political views. But in any event, you know, I just wanted to get Oma's reaction and sort of go back about 4 years ago to that, that story, the chemo death hoax. And, you know, when we had John Lober on the program recently, he spoke about chemo and how, you know, chemo back then was, you know, before he fought in the UFC, was a bouncer, and he used to just, you know, just obliterate guys in the bar. And we all remember chemo. You know, we should have like an MMA, where is now? Where are these folks now? You know, what is chemo doing now? You know, be interesting to see that. But I don't know if he has any Facebook page or if he has a Twitter account. You know, perhaps maybe we can keep you updated on that. But in any event, so we're going to wait for Ball One Man Army Taylor. Hopefully he'll call soon. And I'm trying to reach out to him on Facebook now. And we'll see what happens. But we have a whole line of questions for Bo, and I'm sure he'll call in as soon as possible. You know, you've got UFC, actually Dana White. I don't care about this GQ article that came out naming Dana White one of the biggest sports scumbags or something like that. You know, GQ, this corporate news, this corporate magazine, and just real, I could care less about it. Although I've never been a real fan of some of Dana White's antics, and I think you really have to question what he's done and how he behaves himself most recently in China with the judging controversy, Dana White replacing a judge, which you know could potentially jeopardize the UFC in these foreign markets. But you know, one thing that I got to tell you is the upcoming UFC this weekend, UFC 177. I don't think anybody really cares about this card. I know I sure as hell don't. I don't even want to take off work to watch these fights. You know, I mean, how many pay-per-views is this? How many pay-per-view buys is this card going to get? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, does anybody think that? You know, this pay-per-view is going to get 200, 300,000 buys. I don't think so. I'm not interested in seeing the rematch. I think, you know, this rematch would have been better perhaps on, you know, a television card and whatnot. You know, it's really, really bad. They're, in my opinion, they're stretching themselves thin, the UFC. Having too many cards now, we know that in the next, like, coming months or so, they're scheduled 35 events. It's really diluting the product. But this is what you have now when corporations, you know, privately owned corporations try to expand outside of their border. It's, you know, just the production value of the product is diluted, and, you know, we get a company that has just a bloated roster. And now they're just trying to turn out these cards, you know, one after the other. And what happens is the pay-per-view base in the United States, it erodes because, you know, nobody wants to see these fights. And also, too, you have the Chad Mendes, Jose Aldo situation, another Jones-Cormier imitation, which we now know was fake. And what does that say about the sport? I mean, what does that say about the route that the UFC is going in? You know, having these contrived press conference brawls, it's unbelievable. And it really, really pisses me off because, you know, I could see through this. A guy like Eddie Goldman can see through this. By the way, a real turn of events here, kind of interesting. I'm sure Eddie won't mind me saying this. The UFC now is actually following Eddie on Twitter. The official UFC Twitter handle is following Eddie on Twitter. I'm like, wow, what the hell's going on there? You know, Eddie wants nothing to do with the UFC, and I'm really surprised that they would go out of their way to follow him. Is there some sort of, you know, maybe some sort of effort here on the part of the UFC to try to get Eddie back on the program or get in, you know, good standing with Eddie again, because they're reaching out to a lot of these old-time MMA guys. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to – maybe there's some sort of strategy on the part of the UFC. I don't know. But, we're going to have to see what happens here. But I just kind of really thought that was interesting, you know, that the UFC and Eddie Goldman, is there going to be a reemergence here? Are they going to, get back together? I don't think so. I really don't. But anyway, going back to this UFC card they've got coming, UFC 177 this Saturday, there's just no way. I think a lot of people are going to get this card. I don't see enough fights. Usually, these cards, they'll have one or two, a main event, a co-main event, and some, pretty notable fighters, but I just don't see it. The only fight that I could possibly be interested in, maybe perhaps besides the main event, is the Beth Correa versus Shayna Baszler, because Beth has really been on a roll, and there's even some talk about her fighting Ronda Rousey. But aside from that, that's not something that I'm really excited for. It's I don't know why they're doing this, but who knows? Maybe the UFC knows something that we don't know. Maybe the UFC is going to be able to make some money off of these cards somehow, some way. Where there's a will, there's a way, ladies and gentlemen. There's no question about that. We've got that coming up. Again, this is something that I'm not excited for. I really, really am not looking forward to this card. And, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a bantamweight title fight between TJ Dillashaw and Hennenberg. I wouldn't be surprised if Dillashaw handled him the same way. I didn't see anything in that first fight that would lead me to believe that this was some sort of fluke or that Barao was just completely off of his game, which I'm sure, maybe there was some of that, but it really looked like there was a big discrepancy in terms of speed and in terms of skill. And so I don't really expect to see a different event here or a different result here. I could be wrong. Who knows? I've been known to be wrong from time to time, but, we'll see what happens. But I don't think it bodes well for the UFC. I really don't. And with that, we're going to take a brief time out. We're going to come back. We're going to try to reach out to Alma and try to get him on the program. So just kind of keep it right here on Carson's Corner. Also, in the next coming hour, we'll have Tracy Sneed on, professional boxer who just fought for a super middleweight title and lost to Comanche Boy. And we'll bring him at the top of the hour as well. So we've got a lot going on here on Carson's Corner. Make sure to keep it right here.
I got no soul. Life in prison, no parole, no control. Rude, I got my number on a wiretap. Cause I jacked for civil act. Fuck a Cadillac, so fine. One motive, no focus. Empty sidewalk, no focus like a tightrope. Yes, I know my deadline, sire. With my life in fire, I'm sending the salmon of the barbed wire. across the white wall. Walker seat back, the frames in the gate. Born without a fate. One moon and no hope, Born without a fate. Walker seat back, the frames in the gate. Born without a fate. One moon and no hope, Born without a fate.
Carson's Corner, and we're still trying to get in touch with Alma, but before we get to that, I got to tell you, we got some really, really good news here. A lot of people out there have been asking me about the shows, about some of our previous shows. I mean, Carson's Corner goes back all the way to 2006, if you can believe that, folks. And let me tell you, there's been a lot of demand for previous shows, old shows going back to our days on Podomatic. And sure enough, one of the fans out there has actually sent me all the shows, or I would say probably about 70% of our old shows out there. And so what I've been doing is I've been uploading them to YouTube, youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA for some of our old shows. Actually, I'm going to try to upload a show a day. So, you know, you'll be able to, a lot of the fans out there will be able to listen to some of these classic interviews. You know, for example, yesterday I actually posted an interview I did in 2009 with the late Sean Tompkins. And this is a really interesting interview because at the time, you know, he was training Randy. At the time, he was training Vitor and Mark Coleman. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you could think back to even, you know, he was training Dan Henderson when Dan Henderson won the Pride Championship. And, you know, let me tell you, Sean Tompkins, in my opinion, was one of the greatest MMA trainers out there. And if you listen to this interview, and listen to really all of Sean's interviews, and Sean was a real fan of this program. I mean, Sean always reached out to us and wanted to be on the show because we get to the bottom of the issues here on Carson's Corner. You know, we get the answers that the fans are looking for. And so if you listen to this, you really get a feel for how a trainer thinks and for, you know, the strategizing, what goes into, you know, these fight camps. And one of the interesting things he was telling us is that, you know, he and Vanderlei parted ways years ago. And they parted ways because Sean Tompkins believes that you should bring in sparring partners, and you should, you know, tailor your sparring partners to who you're fighting. You know, if you're going to be fighting a particular guy that uses, you know, an unorthodox striking style, well, you should try to get someone to emulate that striker. And you hear a lot of these guys do this. I mean, a lot of these trainers, you know, try to duplicate type of striking that you're going to have in a real fight. And Vanderlei, on the other hand, and, you know, his team, they are all about just killing each other in training sessions. And, you know, that I'm sure may work for some fighters, and there's a school of thought, you know, surrounding that type of training. But Sean didn't feel that it was really that effective, and so that while they respected each other, they just parted ways. But that's a kind of interesting debate to have, is, you know, what type of training camp is the best way to go? I mean, if, you know, you look at some of the best trainers, look at a guy like Greg Jackson. I think probably Greg Jackson would favor the former approach. Greg Jackson would try to, have fighters match or have, you know, sparring partners match with fighters in accordance with, you know, what they're going to see in the fight. I just thought it was really, really interesting. You know, we spoke about even some fighters that I forgot. You remember Junie Browning, right? What happened with Junie Browning? Why didn't he pan out, you know, the way that a lot of people thought he was going to do after he came off of The Ultimate Fighter? And Sean really gives down-to-earth answers, very respectful, but just, you know, his not sugarcoating anything. And you can hear that on my YouTube account at youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA. And yeah, these are important interviews because, unfortunately, you know, I got to tell you, if you listen to Zuffa-approved media nowadays, okay, if you listen to any number of the Sure Dog podcasts and, you know, particularly some of the shows that you see on television, it's Fox Sports 1, it's all market-approved stuff, in-the-now stuff, focusing very short-term. There's not a lot of analysis on the future, on, you know, different schools of thought, different issues, so many different issues. It's all about the latest headline, the latest brawl or the latest card. And, you know, what happens is guys like Sean Tompkins, who really have contributed a tremendous amount to the sport, no question about that, they get left out. And you know, Sean Tompkins, it's even some of the older UFC fighters. You know, you look at a guy like Sean and I were talking back then about Mark Coleman, how even, you know, in 2008 and 2009, Mark Coleman was really having financial difficulties. And I know this, you know, as recently as earlier this year, you know, from interviewing people that are very, very close friends with Mark, how Mark is really hurting financially, which I think is an indictment on the sport nonetheless. But, you know, that's a separate discussion. And then supposedly Mark became involved with The Ultimate Fighter or something to that effect, and that was going to help him out financially. But, you know, you won't hear about this a lot on the corporate media because everything is – I feel that a lot of these shows are just essentially, you know, almost accomplices, almost, you know, working in concert with Zuffa, where it's they're all programmed to just talk about, you know, the upcoming card and just, you know, these superficial issues that, unfortunately, a lot of people gobble up because that's the type of culture that we have in America. And then, you know, what gets left out is this guy's, you know, importance, issue and you know, these pioneers in MMA. And I just think that's kind of unfortunate. And it's really a sad indictment on the state of affairs when it comes to martial arts, particularly mixed martial arts. It's just, you know, where are you going to go? Who are you going to turn to, you know? So we got some news here regarding this show. This show, Carson's Corner, we will be covering Bellator. Bellator, and that's another thing too, is you never hear about Bellator on these other shows. It's really unfortunate. But, you know, Carson's Corner will be there covering Bellator. And we're going to be with Eddie Goldman, okay, in Uncasville, Connecticut. It's a long drive up there, and I hope that we make it okay, and I hope that we can really, you know, cover this event because you've got King Mo that was supposed to fight Tom DeBlas, and now Marcus Sursa you know, is going to be actually, King Mo was supposed to face Tom DeBliss, who I was really looking forward to see fight. And then Marcus Sursa was replacing Tom DeBliss. And then now he's fighting just Dustin Jacoby, who's a UFC veteran. And, you know, I don't think it's really, really going to be that much of a match. I think King Mo is going to just kind of blow through him. But just the injury bug, you know, hurting Bellator. And then also on this card, you've got – actually, you know, this is – I'm believe it or not, I'm more excited about covering this card and more excited about some of the fights on this card than I am about the entire UFC pay-per-view coming up this weekend. But you've also got Bobby Lashley, who's coming back to MMA. You know, Bobby Lashley, of course, is a guy – that, you know, has the what Eddie Goldman would call the fake pro wrestling background. And, you know, he's actually coming back to a promotion. He's been active in some, you know, I guess lower-level shows. He's done some fighting overseas, fought some, you know, I guess overmatched opponents. And he's fighting a veteran in Josh Burns. Josh Burns, who has fought in Bellator before. And, you know, it should be a decent match, but I think this is ultimately going to be a showcase fight for Bobby Lashley. Josh Burns fighting, who had lost to our good friend Eric Prindle at Bellator 40. And really doesn't have that good of a record inside the Bellator cage, but nonetheless is fighting Bobby Lashley, who really is an attraction. I mean, Bobby Lashley's probably got, you know, 4% body fat, if that, maybe less. And he really is a physical specimen. He's got a good collegiate wrestling background. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he's capable. Is he capable of making a run at a championship at 38 years old, you know? Also, another interesting fight on this card that I'm excited to see is Czech Congo versus LeVar Johnson. You know, LeVar Johnson is a guy who really has had adversity in his life. This is a guy who was shot, I believe, a few times while attending a family get-together. We reported this on Carson's Corner years ago when this happened. And, you know, he's a big heavyweight who he's won some and lost some and got released by the UFC. And now he's fighting Czech Congo, who you've got to consider to be a favorite in this fight. And, again, this is taking place September 5th at Uncasville, Connecticut. But, you know, outside of that loss to Minnikoff, Congo has done pretty well inside Bellator. And Congo is a pretty decent fighter, a veteran who is pushing 40 himself, but he's not one of these guys that, you know, is looking worse for the wear. Some guys can fight into their 40s. You know, Randy was a good example of this, that they don't take layoffs, they don't take time off, and, you know, so therefore they're not any worse for the wear. They don't look their age in there. You know, the traditional wisdom is that fights, you know, fighters, you know, once they get into their 30s, that they expire. The shelf life of a fighter is maybe 1 to 2 years. And even Ronda Rousey has said so much. But, you know, Congo is not one of those guys. And, you know, Congo, again, with a couple more wins, he could be potentially tournament wins. He could potentially end up at a title shot. Now, the main event for this card is Pat Curran versus Patricio Ferreri, Pitbull Ferreri, and this is a rematch. And, you know, if you want to hear more from Pat Curran, Eddie Goldman recently interviewed Pat Curran at the Bellator media event last month at Dave and Buster's, and that's a really, really good interview. And Eddie spoke to Pat for about, you know, 10-15 minutes, and they went down the wire. And it's a very, very good, interesting. You know what's amazing? That Pat Curran, who has been fighting since 2007, Pat Curran is only 26 years old, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, isn't that unbelievable? You know, we all saw when he lost to Daniel Strauss, and then he came back and he won convincingly by submission. This is a rematch against Freire, who he previously beat in 2013. But nonetheless, you know, it's a really interesting title shot here, interesting fight, and you know, sometimes you don't know how these fights are going to turn out. You really don't. And so we're interested. We'll be interested to cover that for sure. I don't know what is going on with Alma here. I think at this point it is a lost cause, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really disappointed because I had some really good questions for him. And again, I don't know where the hell he is. Who knows? You know, what's going on, Alma? Call in to Carson's Corner, please. Please give us a call here. We have some really good questions here for you. And unfortunately, he's nowhere to be found. But coming up in the next hour, we've got Tracy Sneed. He's going to be coming up, and hopefully we'll talk to Comanche Boy. A lot of people have been asking me about Dan Quinn, about what's going on with Dan, and I haven't spoken to Dan in maybe a week or so. And basically, Dan is supposed to upload videos on my YouTube channel, okay, YouTube.com/BobCarsonMMA. And that's how he's going to be communicating with everybody. And he hasn't done so. I've given him the password, the username and password, and there really hasn't been anything updated from Dan. And so I like to get Dan on a live show, but I haven't heard anything from him in a week or so. Oh, good. I got Oma's number now. I'm going to try to call. Oh, Donnie is so resourceful. Thank you so much, Donnie. I'm going to try to call Alma right now. Let's see if he can pick this up here. We're calling Alma. Oh, what the hell is this? It didn't allow me to call. What the hell? That is ridiculous, folks. Well, yeah, we're still trying to call him, but apparently we're having no luck here. I don't know what. Maybe I'll have to manually dial it in or something like that. Who knows here? This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right. Yeah, so we're trying to reach out to Bo One Man Army Taylor. This is nothing personal. Bo is a good guy, and I don't know. He probably just forgot or something like that, or you know, who knows what's going on. I certainly know, but we're trying to dial him right now, and hopefully we'll have some success in getting him on the program.
Tulsa Top Team, this is Bo.
Alma, it's Bob Carson, man. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Oh, my goodness. I totally forgot to call you, brother.
I know. I figured that. We just got your number. My unpaid intern, Donnie, just gave me your number. I'm like, great, let me try to give him a call and see if we can get him, man.
Say again, Bob.
No, we just got your number, and I figured I'd try to give you a call and see if we can get you on the air, man. I'm glad we finally got you.
Yeah, no, I would love to. I'm in. When do you want to start recording? Like right now?
Yeah, well, we're live now.
You
we're
know, not
we're live
the second,
on the air.
But like it. I am live on the air?
Yeah.
Well, then I better get more professional.
We have a this is actually the first live show that you've done here on Carson's Corner. We started going live back in 2011, and it's been remarkable, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's my single favorite show to be on, and that's the Bob Carson Show. So I appreciate you guys calling me. I apologize that I even forgot. I've just been swamped with training and being handsome. You know what I mean?
Yes.
People don't realize when you're good-looking and successful, there's a lot going on. You know, women want me. Men want to be me.
Yeah.
And I respect your guys' show to the fullest. And so, you know, I want to be the first to apologize from the bottom of my heart for forgetting to call in. But
well, you know what? You know what they say, Bo? Bo means boyfriend or something like that in foreign language.
Yes. Yeah. It's like handsome or boyfriend in French.
Yes.
So I got that going for me, too, because it makes sense. As I grew up as a baby, you're like, what? You know, I don't get it. What's the deal with that name? But as I grew up and it turned out, oh, my goodness, this guy is the epitome of good looking. This guy's the epitome of what a boyfriend is, what handsomeness is. And he's also a two-time world champion MMA fighter. And he's also a successful small business owner. And he's also articulate and hilarious, and he scoops people. It's like I'm not even a journalist, right? And I go out, cover my first UFC, Bob, and what do? I scoop the MMA world with the Jordan Means father sexual battery arrest. It's just, you know, I don't know if you would call it beginner's luck or if you would just call it being the best at what I do. I'm the best at what I do because I'm a talent and I work hard and I'm good looking.
Well, you know, I saw you too, your interview with Benson Henderson, which was just remarkable for the Tulsa Voice. And you were fantastic. I mean, I commented on it on the Underground Forum. And then, yeah, you mentioned your breaking news regarding Liam Meehan, the UFC Fight Night weigh-ins arrested for alleged sexual assault. It's really, really remarkable.
You know, and it's very alleged, by the way. As I'm hearing more about this, as more information comes in, I don't know what to think. I don't know that the evidence is stacked against the man by any means. However, just being connected in Tulsa, I started getting a lot of phone calls. The Tulsa Police Department, if you look into them, they're corrupt. They're known for getting in trouble, a lot of internal investigations, a lot of mistakes made, planning drugs on people, corruptness. So what happens when there's a sexual battery? Someone gets on the horn and calls me to report it. A little bit of, leaking the information. I don't know if it's ethical, unethical. I don't know how that works. But I get a phone call from a friend who's a police officer, and he says, you're not going to believe this, but here's what just happened. Lee gets arrested for sexual battery, and they're thinking about possibly giving him more charges. And he said, you know, but that's all I've got. So kind of run with that. So I loosely put out, hey, Here's what happened. Well, the thing is, who's going to believe me? You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah.
I post this, and I know right away, because of the chemo story, I also scooped chemo's death, but then he literally is resurrected by Christ, so it kind of ends up making me look bad as he's kind of brought back to life, so... I post it, and because that it's one man army, because it's Bo Taylor, people are hesitant. I'm the only source. So everyone kind of starts scrambling for the news. And as more information comes in and they start to realize this is real, this guy got arrested, you know, before his son's big UFC fight. Then it started coming out the next day that it was a fact. So it was just, I think it's kind of unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this as far as, you know, a fighter's family member, teammate, anything like that, getting in so much trouble for an alleged event right before the fight. And so, yeah, if nothing else, it was very interesting, Bob.
Well, you mentioned, too, that you're starting to, as more information is coming out now, not a lot of evidence or maybe not as much as people thought is being stacked up against Lee Mean, the father of Jordan Mean, who was victorious against Mike Pyle with a beautiful knockout. What sort of information about the case can you divulge to us?
That's a great question, Bob, as usual, and that's why Carson's Corner is the number one mixed martial arts radio show / podcast / social event of the season. Okay,
thank
so
you.
Here's what I'm thinking. Oh, it's my pleasure. So initially, it comes out, and I'll just kind of break it down as it happened, if you think. I think that would be the most friendly. So I'm sitting there, and I'm writing up a story for, you know, just an MMA story. We've just been shooting video, and I've been interviewing people, and I'm trying to be personality plus and, you know, joke around with these guys and try to show a different side of the MMA fighters, because I'm friends with a lot of these guys and training partners, and I'm, you know, trying to ask them weird questions and just try to find our niche, get a different type of interview. And all of a sudden, the phone call comes in, a lawyer friend of mine, and he tells me, here's what happened. Lee Murray just got arrested. I don't know anything other than that, but here's the charge. So they're at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. That's where the UFC housed these fighters. So I decided, as luck would have it, Tulsa is a small town, you know? And I know a lot of people just because of the fighting thing. People want to be your friend, you know? Fighting is something everyone wishes they could do well, whether they admit it or they don't. And so you get a lot of people latching on to you. Well, one of those latchers, sorry if you're listening to this, but it's true. One of those latchers is the guy who's the manager at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. So I call him up on the phone. He says, yeah, it's true. Guy just got arrested, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, hey, you need to find out, like, the story behind it. Let me know exactly what happened. He calls me back about 30 minutes later, and here's the explanation of what goes down. This is like hearsay plus hearsay times hearsay minus hearsay equals hearsay. But this is what I'm told originally. She's a maid. She knocks on the door. She comes in the room. It's Jordan Mean's father's room, who's allegedly there with his wife or his girl, his female companion. And she's not there in the room, though, but they are together at this event.
Right.
She says something to the effect of, hey, I'm a huge fan of your son's. Can I have your autograph, Lee? Like, ask for the dad's autograph. I don't know if she knows he's a fighter or if she just, let me get an autograph because you, you know, are the dad of Jordan Mean.
Right.
He gives the autograph. She does what she does. I don't know if she's fluffing pillows or taking room service or what. But they're flirting. He's cracking jokes, telling her she's pretty. She's giggling, eating it up, saying, you know, he's real funny and charming. I thought he was handsome, and he was complimenting me, and he was being funny. He calls her forward and puts his hand in his pocket. She assumes he's going to tip her. Instead, he reaches out. This is all allegedly, by the way. This is
right.
Not even the maid telling me this. This is the maid telling a friend of mine who's the manager at the hotel this, you know, or some kind of manager at the hotel. So instead, she thinks he's going to tip her. And he pulls his hand out of his pocket and grabs her boob and tries to start kissing her. I don't know if he kisses her or just tries to kiss her. So she's like, whoa, you know, back up, dude. And he then gets a little physical, totally allegedly. He pushes her onto the bed, kind of turns her around where her back was at the door before, to now allegedly back against the bed, and kind of pushes her onto the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And tries to stick his hand in her crotch.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the quote that was given to me. So I don't know if it's outside of the clothing, in the clothing, whether they're wearing a dress or a skirt or jeans and a belt. I don't know anything, you know, but the words verbatim were tries to stick his hand in my crotch. Then she says that he smells of alcohol, possibly, right?
Right.
To which I post on Twitter, hey, she says he smells of alcohol, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Everyone explodes to defend Lee, saying, hey, this guy has never had a drink in his life. He doesn't drink. This doesn't sound right.
Right.
I make a couple phone calls, call the Hyatt people back, say, listen, this guy has never drank in his life. And you're saying he reeks at alcohol in early to mid-afternoon, to which there's some reply. And again, this is where it starts to get crummy reporting or total hearsay. They call me back in 10 minutes, allegedly having talked to the same girl, and the answer is, well, it could have been Listerine. You know, it could have been Listerine that I smelled, but there was a smell. So my only concern is it's getting a little ticky-tacky. Is this girl being overly dramatic? But there's a third witness, Bob Carson.
Right.
So we've got Jordan Mean being like, I didn't do anything. He has a private investigator in Tulsa that he's already hired, that has already contacted me asking for my side of the story.
Right.
You know, and my side of the story is like, listen, I just have all hearsay. I can't help you out. But if you want, if I can help out in any way, shape, or form, please let me know. Because I'd like to believe that he didn't do this. You know, we've all met a crazy girl.
Right.
Star for attention. Now, that's not to say there wasn't some horrible sexual battery. I just don't know. There's not enough information for me personally to make a decision, Bob.
How did Meehan react to being arrested? Was it basically sort of the quiet, uneventful arrest you see on the news, you know, where the person just walks away with the cop, or was there any MMA on display or anything like that?
Yeah, so from what I heard, I wish there would have, because again, you know, this guy's a pro MMA fighter.
Yeah.
I think he's in his 70s, by the way, you know, the story's told. But no, I mean, he is a non-competitive MMA fighter, as I call it. You know,
right.
He's not in it for the normal reason of I'm going to become a world champ. He's in it for the fun and for the challenge, but knows, you know, the guy's never going to be fighting for the UFC title anytime soon. But you got to respect the guy. He goes in there and he fights big name tough guys.
Right.
But I believe it was kind of a curveball surprise arrest in the sense that, hey, come over here, let me talk to you. We heard that you you know, might have been a little aggressive with this girl. What's going on here? You know, he's right. Like, oh, I don't know. I did this. I did that. He explains his side of the story, and that's enough to corroborate, or, you know, that's enough right there where they say, okay, there's, you know, substantial probable cause here. Let's arrest this guy. So it just comes out of left field for him, as I understand it. He's there, he's talking to the cops, and then, boom, they arrest him.
Wow. You must feel sympathy for me in having been... Actually, you were arrested for not this... Well, public intoxication in the past, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been... I'm at, like, 7 to 9 different arrests since, like, I was 18 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I'm no saint. I have constant... not constant in, you know, that's a relative term, but in the sense that I generally will go out and I end up running into trouble once a year or so, or twice a year, take a year off again. Rinse, repeat, Bob.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like sympathy in the sense, not necessarily, sympathy in the sense that no one wants to get arrested. It's cold, and you're around a bunch of losers. And, you know, that's what ends up keeping me out of jail for another year is I'll be like, oh, these dudes are so gross. You know, like, what a bunch of losers. I'm better than this. I need to stay out of trouble. And then I'll slowly forget that over the next year, go out, get a little too wild, like I was in college again. And then it'll be a little reminder. But, you know, luckily for me, it's never anything too serious.
You know, let me ask you, if going back to Lee Meehan here, if this was a popular MMA fighter, you know, let's say, I don't know, any number of fighters out there that are popular and their father was accused of doing something like this, do you think the narrative would go from, you know, this lady's a gold digger, you know, crazy, looking for some sort of dubious fame, and a bunch of other unfounded claims? Or do you think that because, you know, Jordan Meehan is a good fighter, a good kid, but he's not like a superstar, so there's not a lot of people out there, you know, defending Lee and sort of attacking this woman here?
That is a very, very good question, and I have some concerns about that as well, and whether or not this will actually become that for Jordan, because Canada is starved for the next MMA superstar. You know, GSP is as big, or to some bigger, than some of their hockey teams and some of the individual superstar players. GSP is a huge, for lack of a better term, pride of Canada. You know,
right.
Let's say Dana White says, fighting is in our DNA. These guys, fighting ends up being in all of our DNA. And what can Canada do? A country that has a small man's complex versus the United States, they can hang their hat on, hey, USA, look at this. We have the greatest fighter in the world. And it's a way to give a little self-esteem to Canada. You know, that's how some of those dudes get through their day without hanging themselves every day. It's like, oh, it's negative. You know, it's 40 below zero today and it's June. What a horrible place we live in. And I got to wait 4.5 weeks to see the doctor when I have a cold. But we've got the greatest fighter in the world, GSP. Like, woo, you know. When Jake Shields, I cornered for Jake Shields when he fought GSP, it was like 55,000 people in their arena. So these people really show up. So my thinking is, Jordan Meehan is a superstar that, not a superstar, excuse me, but a fighter that they might want to get behind. Canada is starved for the next good Canadian fighter. Is it Rory McDonald? Is it Jordan Meehan? Is it, oh, wait, who knows? They're Canadian. Mark Bocek just retired.
Right.
But I think it'll make his popularity, you know, he'll be a little bit more known. Now, depending what happens when the information comes out, how Dad looks, he could get pretty popular. All he has to do is be competitive at 170 because, like I said earlier, they're starved for attention. But if this is another fighter, if this is an established, to answer your question, big-name fighter, Bob, look out. This would be everywhere. It's kind of a black eye for the sport. We're to the detractors, to the moms against the UFC, we are human cockfighting. And luckily, the sport has gained so much traction. We're not going to lose ground because of this, but this does give more info, more credence to the people that were already dead set on this sport is the devil. So, you know, it's that confirmation bias. This will allow New York to keep voting to make MMA illegal.
Well,
it just reinforces the stereotype.
We're going to have to end it there. We got to get you back up. There's so much I have to ask about your career and what you got going on. We got kind of pressed for time here because we got another guest. But I want to give people information where they can keep up with you and send you different sorts of threats and emotional blackmail, email, filmware. You've got your Twitter account, you've got Facebook, and are you still at Fight Sport?
I am still at Fight Sport, yes. I just view, I haven't been posting. I'm trying to let that child grow up and become its own man, but I love it. At Bo Taylor OMA, which stands for One Man Army, but in BEAU, like you said earlier, beautiful, handsome boyfriend. So it's Bo Taylor OMA is my Twitter handle. Same as Facebook, and feel free to check me out there, guys. One Man Army on the Underground. And I'm going to start putting out a series of technique blogs and kind of reviews of some fights. Me and Gerald Harris, who's a former UFC fighter and professional stand-up comedian, we're starting a podcast here in Tulsa for the Tulsa Voice, which is just a local, free, alternative, independent newspaper. And we're trying to do some of the video and online content and just, you know, have some fun with it. They're being very generous hooking us up. And so we're going to just be putting out conversations, opinions, covering MMA and real events, etc. So we'll see. It could fall flat on its face, or it could be the greatest thing since sliced bread, Bob.
I think I would say
there's only one way to tell, and that's to tune in.
That's absolutely right. Listen, Alma, thanks a lot. I'm going to save your number, and we're going to be in touch with you for you to come back on the show and discuss more about your career and some of the projects you got going on right now, my friend.
Yeah, please. I would love to. I apologize. This was such a hyper, upbeat interview, just because there's so much going on with the Jordan Mean thing. I'm so excited to be back on Carson's Corner. And then, of course, all of the cocaine that you and I have been doing in the studio doesn't help, Bob.
But, exactly.
Anyway, you guys, that's going to explain all my weight loss. You are looking really, really good. You see this, everybody? Only our producer, Eric, sees this right now. But look at this.
Yes.
I'm rubbing his belly, everyone. All right. Hey, so anyway, Carson's Corner, thanks for having us out in studio. Bo Taylor. And I will see you guys later. No, I'm just kidding.
So long, brother.
But
have a good one.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. As usual, a total pleasure. You're the best in the business. And independent and alternative and asking the hard-hitting questions that literally, these reporters are scared to ask.
Well said.
I went a part of the media scrum. I was at the UFC 46, Fight Night 46 in Tulsa. And these guys are literally scared to ask Jordan Mean about very topical, very serious news after his fight. His father getting arrested before his fight. How did that affect you? Did you sleep well last night? How were your nerves? None of these guys could ask anything. It was embarrassing. And it made me think, Bob Carson. We need real reporters who aren't afraid, who aren't fanboys, glorified fans, asking questions. I thought they were going to be like, Jordan Mean, can I have your autograph? Instead of asking the guy about the news. It was nuts. So keep fighting the good fight and keep inspiring us fighters that like to see real reporters covering real stories, my friend.
Alma, from your mouth to God's ears, thank you so much. I appreciate everything, my friend.
That's what we call a motherfucking soundbite.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you, man. Thank you.
Later, buddy.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Bull One Man Army Taylor. Glad to get him on the program, and we'll have him back on in the future day to discuss a lot of what he's got going on. And we're going to go now to Tracy Sneed. You'll recall we had him on recently during the build-up to his fight, the big super middleweight 10-round boxing match against Comanche Boy. They fought the other night, and Tracy, unfortunately, was on the losing end of a highly disputed unanimous decision. If you look around the internet, you'll see plenty of people believe that Tracy was robbed. And without further ado, we're going to bring him on the line now. Tracy, welcome back to Carson's Corner.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot for having me back on Carson's Corner. I appreciate you.
I really appreciate it, man. I want to let the fans know, as I did at the beginning of the show, I haven't seen the fight itself, but there's a lot of people saying that you won the fight. How did you feel about it? I mean, hindsight, do you think it was too tough to make the 10-rounder your first fight after such a long layoff? Or just kind of give us your thoughts on the fight.
Well, let me see. No, I don't think it was too tough. You know what I'm saying? I think he was stronger than what I kind of expected. But I don't know. I don't know if he won the fight. I'm kind of like other people, you know what I'm saying? And then again, of course, he did throw a lot of punches. But, you know, I don't know. Let me see. Okay, let me say it this way. You know, I'm from Oklahoma and you know, like Texas and Missouri. Of course, these kind of states, like the Midwestern state. I don't know. Of course, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like behind on it. You know, I don't mean to say that badly. But I'm saying, of course, they judge it, like, you know what I'm saying, just by throwing the punches. But like I'm a, if you're in New York or you know if you're on the West Coast, I don't know. But
hello, oh, we're breaking up here. Tracy, I can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, good. Now you're
good. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I lost about the last 10 seconds.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, I was just saying, of course, the difference here in Oklahoma and then up in Las Vegas, of course, they judge you on everything, on slipping punches, on jabs, on making you miss, all that kind of stuff. But here, of course, I'm saying, they just judge you on, then just throwing punches. So if you got a guy throwing punches, even though he's missing, you know, just because he's busier than you, they look at him like, okay, well, he won the fight because he was busier. Even though, of course, he threw a whole lot of punches that didn't matter because they missed, I'm looking at it like, of course, that's what the judges should be looking at because that's what the professional judges do. Now, for the amateurs, of course, you know what I'm saying, if you just throw a whole lot of punches and you outland the other guy, well, yeah, in the amateurs, they kind of do that. But in the pros, you know what I'm saying, when he's a pro, I'm a pro, and if I'm slick enough to make you miss half the punches that you throw and you're a professional, you're supposed to know not to just keep throwing wild punches, slow down, and start placing your punches, but he couldn't do that because I made him look like an amateur. But the pros, but the judges didn't see that. Of course, they seen he was busier. He threw a lot more punches than I threw. Of course, my punches was, I don't know, man, my punches, like, you know, for a slight on point. His was just, you know, I don't know.
Just kind of punches and punches. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
But let me read you a quote that was, I believe, from the promoter, because this quote was passed around a lot of the boxing sites out there. It's not well written, so forgive me for the errors. But Comanche Boy cruises to victory over Tracy Sneed. Comanche Boy was in control of the fight every round. Sneed was awarded a questionable knockdown in the third round. Comanche Boy rebounded by dominating every round with his speed and defense. This was Comanche's first 10-round bout that went the distance and was very confident in his conditioning. Tracy, what's your reaction to that press release? It makes me seem like the promoter. It seems like the promoter is playing favorites right here. I mean, questionable knockdown. Was it a questionable knockdown?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it was no questionable knockdown. I mean, I think it's on the video. You know, simple. You can see it on YouTube for yourself. Of course, you know, he walked into a straight right. He got clipped with a little short straight right. Dropped him. Of course, he got back up. And, of course, he did a whole lot of movement, a whole lot of running, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't see him establish no championship, you know what I'm saying, or champion era, you know what I'm saying, because he's supposed to be the champ. Of course, I'm a guy that just came off the couch, ain't fought in 4 years, ain't put a glove on in 4 years, 42 years old, and he's running the whole fight pretty much. Yeah, he came in sometime and fought, but when it got too hot in the kitchen, if you watch the thing on there, he ran and ran. I mean, shit, man, he probably ran 60 circles around that, you know, that ring, you know what I'm saying, around this way, around that way, and you can call that boxing, or you can call that running, and you can call that boxing throwing a whole lot of punches and missing, or you can call it just amateur throwing a lot of punches and missing. But the pros, like, okay, for example, De La Hoya threw twice, maybe three times the punches that Floyd Mayweather threw. He blocked them and made him miss so many that the professional judges saw that, and he came back with the right shots and hit him. All his shots were pretty much on the money. That's why Floyd Mayweather won the fight. That's why he's one of the best pound-for-pound fighters today. So when I get out there and I make a person miss, and of course, this guy is supposed to be a champion and a professional, and he missed all these punches, and then, of course, they give it to him unanimously, talking about he controlled the fight and all that. I'm pursuing the whole fight. He's running the whole fight. You know what I'm saying? In other words, so I'm taking the fight to him, and this guy is running. Well, shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Of course, he left. I mean, well,
you know, listen, I read a lot of comments online about Comanche Boy threw a lot of punches that simply didn't connect, and that you were the more composed professional fight out there. And I believe that all three judges had it 97-92, meaning they gave you two rounds, including that 10-8 round where you knocked them down. What do you think about those scores?
I thought, again, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying? And I hope they don't hate me for saying it, but it's just, I mean, it is what it is. You know, up in the amateur, that's what they look for. Who can throw the most punches, whether they land really or not. That guy was busier in the amateurs. That's what they do. But when you become a pro, they teach you about sitting down in the pocket, and then, of course, you start learning the game of science, you know what I'm saying, which is what they call boxing. It's a science. It's not just out there throwing punches. Off in MMA, they throw kicks, they throw punches, they throw elbows. That's kind of what you do, you know, off in the MMA, you know what I'm saying, because it's not really a science. It's a fight with the MMA, you know what I'm saying. I mean, of course, they do get guys in MMA that can grab you and, you know, put your arm in the leg, but them guys, they don't throw a lot of punches. They just get in there, and they grab you and put you in a move, and they, you know, they handle you. Of course, they are professionals, what they do. But what I'm saying, again, you know, often the professionals, I thought that the judges looked at this a totally different, you know, than what I would have judged it. And I think if you look on HBO and look at all those guys that make people miss punches and then get in there and punch and then make the champion run and miss punches, I mean, I think you two and everybody else that's seen this would say, yeah, something's wrong here. I mean, I don't know how this guy won. No, you know, I don't know what the score was, 97-94. I don't even know what it was. I just know he, you know, won unanimously. And I was like, wow. But it's okay. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. And that's what the judges thought. And, you know, that's just how it is. This is how they judge here. But anywhere else, he would have lost that fight. If we was in Las Vegas, if we was in L.A., if we was in Miami, he would have lost that fight. The champion running, you got to establish that you're the champion. You got the belt. Why are you the champion if you're running?
Right.
You know?
What's the answer to this problem? Because, you know, when the sport is all about hitting and not getting hit, I know it must be frustrating for you when you don't get hit, but the judges still scored for the opponent just because he threw a lot of punches, even though it missed. I mean, should we have more ex-fighters start judging? What do you think the answer is here?
Well, I mean, I think here in Oklahoma, if you want to win with the judges here, I mean, it's simple and plain. I mean, I don't think I'm going to change anything with my opinion, any of that. You know, I think you got to throw a lot of punches, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, that's what it's about, just who throws the most punches here. And don't get me wrong, though, once you advance from Oklahoma and make it to the big time, you probably shouldn't throw as many punches, but, you know, look more professional. Because when they get to the big time on HBO, like in Las Vegas and stuff, that's what they're judging on. They're judging on how slick, I mean, well, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it one time again. The best pound-for-pound fighter in the world that people think that he's the best pound-for-pound, you know, he's known as, his name is Floyd Mayweather. He's very right. slick, makes you miss a lot of punches, and then he puts his punches on you. My punches may not be as fast as his, but it's the same pretty much, it's the same boxing style. I'm making you miss, and then I'm countering. And the only reason why I couldn't counter him really too much, if you watch the fight, is because he would throw punches, and when he missed, because he seen what I was doing, he would take off running. Like I told you, if you watch that thing on YouTube, you'll see Comanche Boy sprinting around that track. Pyong! I mean, that ring. Pyong! Running. And I'm walking him down, you know. And, you know, so that's the thing what a champion is supposed to do, you know what I'm saying? So when they say that he just won and he controlled it and all that shit, you know, well, you know, that's just hype from the promoter, you know what I'm saying? He probably was happy that his boy won the fight, you know what I'm saying? I knocked him out, so he was going to win. That's probably what the deal. Hey, if you can just keep from getting knocked out, you're going to win this fight. That's probably what the promoter told him, and that's how it goes sometimes, you know.
We have a couple callers online here. I want to get – would you mind taking some phone calls?
Sure.
Okay, great. We got one from 580 area code. This is from Pennsylvania, I believe. Welcome. You're on Carson's Corner with Bob Carson and Tracy Sneed.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Oh, hey.
He's silent. Hello? All right, let's go to what we'll come back to him. Let's go to another caller here, 817 area code. I believe that's from the great state of Texas.
Yep, and Tracy got ripped off. I saw the fight on the internet. I just wanted to call in. I need to listen on the phone, but I just wanted to make a comment because I watched it on the internet, and then Tracy won the fight fair and square.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. I really thought that, you know what I'm saying? Because any real boxing fan, of course, they know that, and that's what the game is about. Of course, just getting hit in your face and you know, of course, some trading punches, you know, so that's not professional. And I'm, you know, but any real boxing fan that know boxing, they know that. You know what I mean? But if you don't know boxing, then, yeah, you think that's the way that it is. You throw a lot of punches.
Well, I would tell you if I thought you lost, but you won.
Man, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you telling me that.
Good luck, man.
Thank you, my friend.
We'll leave you
on hold. All right, let's try to go back to 580 area code. If he doesn't or she doesn't answer, then we'll just proceed with the interview. Hello, you're on Carson's Corner with Bob Carson and Tracy Sneed.
Am I on?
Yes. Hey,
yeah,
how are you?
Hey, this is a Comanche Boy, George Tedenhopper himself. Listen to all the complaining.
What's up, George?
What's up?
What's up with you? Go ahead and talk.
Hey, George. Yeah, you got the floor, my friend.
All right, well, number one, like you said, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. You can watch it yourself. And number one, first off, you know, the fight's over. I won unanimously. Felt very confident. Didn't get hit. The knockdown, if you watch it on YouTube, third round, he didn't even hit me. He didn't even throw a punch. I tripped over his leg. He never hit me with no punch. Not one punch he hit me with, and he knows that. I never got hit. I was too fast, too quick. Granted, you know, he's 42 years old. He's been out of the ring. I'm not going to make no excuses for him. He's doing plenty of that right now. But I beat him fair and square. I mean, when I took a loss, I wasn't on the other side complaining, crying around. The fight's over. I won fair and square. Get over it. Move on. You had your chance, and you lost. That's just how it was. And, I mean, I won, and you can see it yourself. There's no argument. There's no controversy, nothing at all. I mean, I was faster, quicker, busier. If you say people run, look at Muhammad Ali. He was just a very slick, finesse fighter, used his legs. He did what he had to do. God gave him good legs, so that's how he fought. Floyd Mayweather, great, great, great movement, and he used his defense. And typically on this fight, you know, I was smaller. I had a power puncher coming forward. So I had to adjust my game plan, and that was to be quick, be slick, make a miss, make them pay, which I did, and I got awarded the decision. It's not about where the judges in Oklahoma Las Vegas, it does not matter. They're all learned how to judge the same way. It doesn't matter where it's at. These same judges go across the United States and judge everywhere. We can make up excuses, and we can argue about it. But it's plain and simple. A unanimous decision, 97-92, tells you. I give him the first round. He came at me. He was strong. I knew he was going to be strong in the first round because everyone's strong in the first round. In the third round, I was winning until I slipped over his leg, awarded a knockdown. And after that, I cruised to it. Game over.
Okay. Trace, do you have anything you want to respond to?
I mean, I tell you what he sounds like to me, you know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, if I had won, I would have probably said the same thing. I don't know if you wrote that down or somebody helped you write that down or whatever, but it sounds good. It sounds like a poem or something. But, you know, don't get me wrong, man. Well, you come out to fight. You know, man, you're a strong guy. I don't take nothing from it. I'm just giving my opinion, you know, and then you get to fight again off in a rematch. That'd be great, you know. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to. If you don't want to fight, then, you know, that's, I can understand that too. But, you know, this is just called promoting. So I'm telling how I seen it. You telling how you kind of felt. And you know what? You won. You know, I'm not knocking that. I put that on the Facebook. I lost. There was nothing I can do about it. But I am telling you now, once I've seen the deal and seen how many punches you missed and, you know, seen, you know, how I had you running. But don't get me wrong. Of course, you did just say that I was a power puncher, and that's the way you kind of changed your game up. So then, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense then. You know what I'm saying?
But
again, from my point of
view. Also, Tracy, I mean, you say I made you miss a lot, but
yeah.
I might have missed some, but I made you miss all night. I mean, honestly, how many times did you hit me during the fight? Really, you didn't hit me none, and you know you didn't hit me.
I think you can look on YouTube. If anybody's listening to the show, you can look on YouTube, and you can see exactly everything he's saying about the knockdown. He tripped over my leg. Slow it down.
Yeah,
and look
I know.
At it.
I watched it.
Slow it
I
all
did.
Down and look at it and see if
I did.
See if he tripped my leg. Man, you got caught with a short right hand. It wasn't very hard.
I didn't feel the punch.
But you got caught with a short right hand.
But
well,
the judges.
You didn't. But
okay,
it dropped you. Just like the judges said you won. The referee said you got dropped. And you know you got dropped. And you know what? The judges said you won. And you won. And you won. And you won. But you got dropped. And that's all it is to it. You know, don't get me wrong. But you did win the fight, bro. And you know what? You threw a lot of punches. And a lot of punches did land on me that probably shouldn't have landed on me, but you did. So, you know what? I take credit. I mean, I said you won. But at the same time, I said, okay, you can look at it from this point of view of him throwing a whole lot of punches, and then you can look at it from another point of view of these punches not even landing.
But, you know, that's just contradicting what you're saying. I mean, after the fight, you shook my hand. You told me I won fair and square, which I know I did. You know I did.
The judges, I gave you a hug, bro. I'm a gentleman. The judges said you won. I can't change their mind.
You
won.
That.
I'm walking out.
You said that.
I gave you a hug, bro. I gave you a hug and walked
like,
out to you.
You know what?
Point
you know
blank.
What it sounds like? It sounds like. It
sounds like we need a rematch.
Sounds
like we need a rematch.
You won.
See, that's it.
what I think, but it's like he's saying is that you won, but you didn't beat him. Is that what you're saying, Tracy?
Well, no. I'm saying. Definitely. I'm saying I won the fight. I think, but hey, the judges didn't think so. But what am I going to do? Get up there and say, fuck all y'all and blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not going to say that. That's just the judge's thought. And I'm going to tell you that I think they thought that because you were the busiest fighter. Here in Oklahoma, a lot of fights are based like that if you're the busiest fighter. But if you look at De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather or any other guy, I mean, even the other guy that he just fought that everybody thought won, whatever his name is, Miranda or whatever that guy is, threw a lot of punches. He missed. He missed a whole lot of punches, and Floyd walked him down with the precise shots, and that's why he wins. The same thing you did. You missed. But, hey, you know what? You won because the judges said you won, and look, you are the champion, bro, and there's nothing I can do about that. I want a rematch. I ain't going to sit there and do what you said. I'm doing crying, but I'm going to say, look at it, and then I want other people to judge it from their point of view. Did he win? Did he not win? And you know what? It's just really an opinion. It shouldn't hurt you. It's just...
Tracy, I know that you said that there was a rematch clause that you said you're going to exercise. What are the details of that rematch clause?
I really don't know. I just know it's off in the contract.
What about that, Comanche boy? Do you have any details regarding?
I mean, if we're complaining about rematch and the clause, then I would know if there was something. Number one, you know. The fight's over.
Do you not want a rematch? Do you not want a rematch for money?
You know,
I mean,
you know what?
Boxing is about money.
Dollar makes sense. You know, if financially it is good
for me, right.
But
so
most
that's
definitely
why you should,
will.
That's why
you
should
I'm
be,
most,
you know,
hold on,
take that.
That's why
you should be promoting it, bro. Promote it, man. Don't be talking that kind of shit. Look, if they get us the right kind of money, we should fight 3 times, 4 times. You ever see, have you heard of Holyfield and Bo? Man, that's how you make money. So I'm ready to fight you in the phone booth, in the backyard, at your house, in Fire Lake, wherever. You know what I'm saying? We
okay.
need to get them
so,
up. Get
so
them
my
up.
Deal is this,
yeah.
is, it's making money. But,
right.
you know, I joined this game to get on HBO, to get on Showtime,
yeah.
to get that
yeah.
big shot. And nothing against you, Tracy. You know,
okay.
when I started boxing, you was in your prime. And you're
yeah.
not the same no more. You're not, time has took its toll on you. It's time to step aside. There's a new lion in town, which is named the Comanche Boy. I won fair and square. And now I'm ready to keep on climbing. I'm ready to keep on climbing.
If you was a real champion, Comanche Boy, you would not have ran, whether I'm a power puncher or not. You ran, bro.
I mean,
you lost that fight.
I boxed
you. Straight up.
I boxed
you.
I mean, these guys who watch on YouTube
you
and I boxed
yeah,
you. You know what?
That's
if I missed, then you weren't even throwing nothing because you didn't hit me with nothing. Not one
man,
punch.
Man, okay.
Not
you're
one
right,
punch.
Right. Comanche Boy.
I mean, seriously.
You're right. But Comanche Boy, do this right here. Rematch. You the champ. Used to be, instead of people having, like, different opinions, like the guy called me a while ago and said what he said,
well,
you should
cool.
not want to hear that. You should not want to hear that. You should know that somebody
hey,
else
you
is
know
talking
what?
The same thing
if
I said.
I had,
wait,
if I had to please everybody's opinion,
look
if
though,
I had to please
somebody,
everybody's opinion, I would be a madman. I'd be a madman. I'm trying to climb. You know what? If I take a couple steps back and got to fight you and beat you again, I will. If I gotta back up, go back down the mountain and beat you again, I will. Fight the bomb, Tracy.
That's what you should do. I guarantee.
What it sounds like, Comanche
Boy,
is if the money's right, you'll fight him again. Yeah, but you're not. Your first priority, Comanche Boy, is to fight Buddy New at this point. That's your number one objective
I would too.
At this point.
I would too.
I mean,
I'm gonna tell everybody why. Yeah, I'm pissed off. Listen. I'm gonna tell everybody why. And this is in the name of Jesus. I sparred 3 times. I ain't fought in 4 years. Thanks for the glove.
Man, we got nothing but
I sparred 3 times.
Come on,
and got SOAs, bro. You know the biz. I want everybody to know
I'm
going to
make excuses. I mean, come on, guy.
Three times.
I mean, man. We're talking about
excuses. I had to make 162 pounds from 190 in 4 weeks because you didn't want to fight at 168. Well, you know why you went to 168.
You're overweight
and
you're out of shape. Yeah, but that's
yeah.
what I thought. I'm a
I do.
If you're professional, keep your weight down, be ready. Don't take 4 years out of the game.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
You know why I done that?
Because
I had sugar diabetes. That's why. So, you know what I'm saying? Pull you load your mouth up. Because I got sugar diabetes. I took off. I got sick. And I'm right back in your ass. After 4 years, I ain't fought nobody and sparred 3 times
and
got
you know
in your
what? That,
ass,
that's,
bro.
That's pretty
got
lucky.
In your ass.
That's pretty lucky.
That's why
you got
pretty lucky
years.
My
you
shit. Pretty lucky
years.
My
I mean,
bro, this is what I'm trying to tell
you.
Take a rematch.
Who had you fought, Tracy?
You and these are shit
you
out.
Talk about,
you
talk about New York, Las Vegas, all these
listen,
places.
Listen, let me tell you who I done
fought.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah,
you know,
I'm gonna tell you who I fought the last time. George Comanche Boy and beat the brakes off your ass. You was running, man. You was running loose. The brakes was off your ass, bro. You know
it's
the business. Don't sit there and act like that.
It's,
what you
it's
wanna
on
do?
YouTube.
Man, rematch
it's on
it, bro.
YouTube.
And
anybody,
we can put it back
you know,
on YouTube. We should
they
put another one on YouTube.
And if I fight you, I'll beat you. And that's gonna be different. You're 42. You're still gonna be slow. You're still gonna miss. I'm still gonna make you pay. It'll be the same thing, same outcome.
Yeah. If
know,
people look at that thing, they're gonna laugh. Talking about you made me miss.
All I want is
if people look at that, if people look at that tape, they're gonna laugh when you talking about you still made me miss. Bro, everything that hit you was right on target. The only reason you didn't get knocked out is because you ran. Every time it got hot in the kitchen, you ran. Bro,
that's why.
Because I can't hit
you. Let me ask you a question.
You didn't hit me.
like a clown cigarette getting it. Man, you know better than that, man.
Well, this,
you know better
guys,
than that.
This is really heating up here. This, I think we have a rival here between you two guys. But let me ask you, Tracy, if you say that there's a clause, there's a rematch clause. When, let's say Comanche Boy does, he elects not to give you a rematch or whatever. What are you going to do at that point? You're just going to continue
I'll go beat up some other fighters. You know, and like, of course, the ones that Comanche Boy is trying to get to, I'm sure I'll go fight them and beat them up, you know. But as far as, you know what I'm saying, I mean, you know, this is how I look at it. I kind of hear him snickering back there, but I took you as a warm-up, bro. You my first fight coming back, 42 years old, you the champion. I took your dope ass as a warm-up and beat the shit out of you. Now, what do you think about that? Laugh on that. You see what I'm saying? Most people take warm-up fights. You are the goddamn warm-up, Comanche Boy. Now, what's up? Let's fight again. You the fucking warm-up. You understand that, chump? Yeah. Now, fuck with me if you want to. I'll beat your goddamn head off. Boy, you got me fucked up, Comanche Boy. You ain't ready. You ain't ready. If you couldn't fuck with me,
man.
Man,
you're a joke, man.
You
sure?
You really don't want to do
you're
this. 42. Think about it.
You're 42. You sound like you sound like 17.
You the first fight I took on my comeback after having sugar diabetes, ain't fought 4 years, had to make the weight, so I was only able to spar 3 times. And Comanche Boy, if you look at that tape, you getting somewhere. So for you to sit here and think you popping your collar, I'm going to close all that shit up and pop your bubble. Bro, you know the business. You know I'll eat you. Anytime you're ready, you make that fight. I guarantee it. Now, other than that shit, you know what's up, homeboy. You know what's up. Straight up.
When do you plan on fighting again, Comanche Boy? I mean, even if it's not Tracy.
You know, as soon as possible. You know, like I said, I joined this game to bring honor to my people and to fight on HBO Showtime. And, you know, that's my goal. You know, Tracy Sneed, I met him along the way, and I got to ask him. If I got to go half a mile back to beat him again, I'll do that. You know, but, I mean, honestly, I'm trying to climb. You know, I'm trying to get the big fight. And Tracy Sneed, I hate to burst your bubble. You ain't the big fight. You
that's
know,
fine,
no
fine.
One
I'm
knows
not.
Who you are.
I'm not.
Yeah, I know you're not. I mean, I'm just saying that, too. You're
Comanche
not.
Boy,
and
nobody
I'm trying
know
to keep
you
on
are.
Climbing.
Man, don't nobody know you, Comanche Boy. Come on, man. You got knocked out by a little lightweight, Rodriguez and shit. Come on, man.
Hey,
you
Have you fought him?
I bet you won't knock me out. I bet you that. I mean, you know, I guarantee you that. Check this out. The dude that knocked him out, I used to spar him all day long. While, you know, so we had the same coach, Louis Burke. Yeah. Yeah, the same coach off of Rio Dos to make sure. If you want to talk about Jesse Brinkley, John Tua, H.J. Smith, I knocked him out. If you want to just talk about the list, I mean, yo, of course, I just fought with John Tua Coffey. I just fought with Lamont Peterson, Anthony Peterson, Michael Warwick. We can keep on William Joffe. We keep on, bro. They all know me. Who know you? Who name any of those fighters. Who know you? I know one great fighter that know you, one great one. His name is Grady Brewer. Now, he's a great fighter. Who know you? Everybody else I just named, I can continue. Riddick Bowe, Mike Tyson. I train with all these people. George, who know you, bro? You want to talk about you all this and you all that in Lawton, Oklahoma?
Did I say I was all that?
But you are. With Lawton, you are in Lawton. And Wilson with the Comanche, which, by the way, I'm Cherokee. But so I have nothing against
them. Everybody's Cherokee.
I'm Cherokee. Well, everybody might be Cherokee, but I'm letting you know I'm black and Cherokee. Just represent, let you know it ain't about all that. But I am letting you know that. Don't nobody know you, bro. Well, that's why you got ran around that ring, because you was less experienced than I was. You come out and you thought you had something, and then you want to talk about you with Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray. That's an insult, man. Come on. Shit. Are you serious? Don't look at that tape. Don't say no shit like that. Say you was just on some other shit. You can't. I wouldn't be talking about I'm like no Sugar Ray and no Muhammad Ali. You smoking dope or something. What's wrong with you? You ain't look nothing like that, bro. Nothing. 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 I got at you, and you need to know that. And if you don't fight me, everybody in the world understands. You need to go
Comanche
fight somebody.
Boy, was there at any point during the fight that you got hit at all? Anything that you remember?
Yeah, when the fight was over, my wife hit me because I didn't knock him out. He hit me at a couple jabs, and that was it. In the first round, he surprised me with his strength. He was strong, and I adjusted. You know, I didn't know he was going to be that strong, and I adjusted. He was a strong fighter, and I You know, and I seen that, and then like any other fighter, I had to adapt, and you know, I didn't want to be hit with those strong shots, so that's why I had to move and be quick and be slick and use defense and use my speed and use my legs, and, you know, I did what I had to do to win and dominate, which I did in fashion. You know, I didn't get hit with no shots because I knew he had power after that first round, and I knew that I couldn't afford to take a shot from someone that hit like that. Any good boxer knows that. And I adapted, and I did it well, and I executed my game plan, and I won.
He definitely won. He definitely won. And if that's what he done, you know, looking at it from that point of view, maybe that's what he did do. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he wasn't running the way out.
Let me ask you a question. In a rematch, and Comanche Bar, I'm going to go back to you with this. What would you do differently in a rematch versus Comanche?
I would already be in weight, and I wouldn't spar just three times. I would spar. I'd be ready. I'd be super ready. And I mean, don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? When you got to drop from 190 pounds to 162 pounds, just don't get me wrong. That's my fault. You know, and as what he said a while ago, hey. You're a pro. You're supposed to be ready, okay? I wasn't ready. I had to drop that weight. That's my fault. That made me weak. That's not his fault. So I would be strong. I'd be ready this time. I'd be down the weight like I'm already down the weight, and I would get a lot more work in, you know, and that's what would make the difference in the fight. That's what made the difference in the fight. I had to drop so much weight. That's exactly what made the difference in that fight. But, you know, I still done what I was supposed to do as a professional. I made him miss a whole lot of shots. And you know what? He done what he's supposed to do. He came out and he fought. And I do give you credit for that. He fought. I hit him with some hard shots. He don't want to say he got hit. He took a lot of hard shots. And that's where I say, hey, man, I can take my hat off to you. But you took some shots. You can say you didn't. You took some good shots. And I like that about you. You can say you didn't take nothing. Maybe you didn't feel them. I really didn't feel yours either, obviously, which is why I kept coming at you. It's pretty obvious. Look at the thing. I was chasing you, bro. It was obvious I wasn't feeling yours. I'm a beast. A 42-year-old beast, whatever you want to call me. You want to look at this right here, though. This is what people want to know. The dude ain't fought in 4 years, ain't put a glove on, had sugar diabetes, sparred three times, dropped all that weight, and coming down and took the first fight as a champion. Not a warm-up. You are my warm-up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, whoever is after you, if I don't get to fight you again, I just told you, you was my warm-up. I'm ready to fight somebody else better than you. If I can't get it going with you, I'll get one with somebody else better. But you was the warm-up, so thank you on that. I'll get it somebody else. It don't even matter. However you want to do it. But if you want to make that money, it don't even make sense. Why would you, if you can beat me so easy, if you Muhammad Ali me and all that shit, you know what I'm saying, if you Sugar Ray me, why would you pass up that money? Why would you pass up a payday, a nice payday? Now, I'm thinking you can't beat me, so that's why I ain't trying to pass the payday. I want to whoop your ass, get that easy payday, and then go on to some harder fights. Again, I took you as a warm-up. That's why I'm saying. I thought you was easy. Once again, I took you my first fight as a warm-up, bro. Yeah, you are the warm-up. Most fighters take people as warm-ups. Listen, you were my warm-up. I was like, hell yeah, I'll make you my warm-up. Let's go. Let's fight.
Now, Comanche boy.
You got that? Yeah,
what's your response?
Up?
Can I talk?
Go ahead, yes.
Oh, I didn't thought it was Tracy's hour. say it again.
No, just respond. What would you do differently, if anything, and just kind of respond to, you know, some of what Tracy was saying about you being a warm-up and whatnot?
Well, number one, he called me out. He's the one that wanted me, got me, got arranged, you know, same thing at the time. You know, I wanted to climb. I wanted to do something better. And I realized Tracy was a good fighter in his time.
Right.
You know, he had a good record. But, you know, I was 100% confident. I knew I could beat him. I knew I was going to beat him. You know, and if I could have did something different in that fight, I would have knocked him out. And he would have probably still been complaining like he was and saying, oh, he hit me with a bad shot, blah, blah, blah. You know, but that would settle it. But, you know, if I did a little something different, you know, I would just, you know, I beat him up, you know, worse. You know, I put it on him. You know, I can't really say nothing different. You can watch the video and you can see I displayed a beautiful night of boxing that night, and I did what I had to do to win. The Tracy Sneed that showed up that night, I had to adapt to the fighter that I was that night, and I did what I had to do, and I dominated, plain and simple.
Right, right. It's kind of sound like a campaign, like we're going, you know, campaigning for the best president or the best boxer. Let me say this then, since we're campaigning. If you're watching that fight, I'm southpaw on him, and then just in the middle, just because I got that kind of experience, I'll switch the right hand and just bomb on him. Wah, wah. So you can call it like whatever you, I mean, you was Sugar Ray and you did all this and that. Sugar Ray them didn't get hit like that. Watch the fight. You tell me you didn't get hit. Man, I was fighting in southpaw, and then just whenever I get ready, I would switch up the right hand and just lead right. Blah, blah, blah. So much experience.
What we should do is just stop all the talking about it, and you should have did it in the ring like you're saying. Yep. You're talking a really good talk after the fact. You know,
right.
You're talking about
shouldas
and shouldas did, and you're crying about a rematch when I beat you plainly, simple.
Right.
You know, it was a simple fight.
Right.
I did what I had to do, and I hammered you. You know,
you know what?
I mean,
I agree
you
with
know,
you 100%. If you don't want a rematch to make no money, then it don't make no sense.
I hooked you up. I hooked you up. You know, you've been out the game 4 years.
Bro, my people rich. Anybody think about you looking me up?
We paid you.
Listen. We paid you. What you talking about? I don't want to hear that shit. We paid you. You need to know that. We paid
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what?
Well, you ain't hooked me up. I paid you, bro.
It was easy money.
You ain't.
It was easy
I paid
money.
You to beat you up. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Well,
you know, help me pay my bill.
Let me give you some more easy money, man. I'm trying to give you some more easy money. Comanche boy, I'm gonna tell you something. See. I'm not in this sport right here for people to punch me in my face and to be the tough guy. I'm in this sport to get paid.
Well, then you need to do something different because that's what happened.
Right. But boxing, you know, I don't think he's even on it. I mean, I don't know if he's on the same level or not. But what I'm saying is that, ha, 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 to what you were saying, but this is what I'm saying, bro. Boxing is about making money. And if it makes sense for me and you to fight to make that money, then what are you running from? What the hell are you talking about going to fight somebody else on HBO? When you get this money right here, then you can easily go fight anytime on HBO, especially if it's easy money. You should just come get that money. Like Floyd Mayweather tell you, if it don't make money, it don't fucking make sense. What are you running from? If it's going to pay you good, why would you not fight me again? Real simple. You talk all that, oh, I'm trying to climb to.
Hey,
no
you know what? You're doing the best talk. I don't even have to talk. You're doing all the talking. So,
of course.
Mean, you know what? Anybody can watch the video and they can
right.
honestly be their own judge.
You don't want
to,
though. You better not do that.
We can do an overlay face in the background.
Comanche boy, you said earlier that if the money was right, you would definitely fight him again. Does that mean equal, if not more, money than you made during the first fight?
Man, I'll give him more money. Man, look, he's a champ. We're going to give him – look, man, we treat the champ. I treat the champ like the champ. I'll give you more money. Man, no problem. You know what I'm saying? I treat the champ like the champ. But the champ needs to act like the motherfucking champ and fight a motherfucking real fighter like me. That's what the champ needs to do. Now, all that bullshit, don't call yourself no champ if you scared, champ. Don't call yourself no champ if you scared. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I am a champion. I'll fight anybody.
Comanche boy, go ahead.
Huh? What? Is he done?
Yeah.
All I heard was, you know, anybody.
You heard me. I bet you that. I bet you heard me. You too near me not to hear me. You heard me. You heard me.
But man, he's going off over there. Hey,
like
you know what? You better check your sugar, boy. I think you're kind of up right now. You better
right.
Better
I am. I think you know what? After I jump this thing, I am. You're probably right. My sugar is probably up and down.
Your sugar's blowing up. Well, you're about to choke out, man. You better take your insulin.
But you better you better not rematch. Now that's some serious shit right there, huh? Shit done got serious.
You know. Yeah.
Comanche boy, look, check this out. If the money right, man, bro, it only makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I think you're a great fighter. You did fight me, and a whole lot of people wouldn't fight me. But I like you, man. I mean, you're strong. I'm telling you, you're a strong fighter. You beat my ass, bro.
Go ahead.
That's what it is. You beat
go ahead, Comanche boy.
Go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead, my friend.
What did you ask me?
What was that question you was asking me?
About the money, about if the payday's there, why not take it and whatnot?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, if it's financially a ride for me, most definitely I will, you know, because I beat him once. I beat him easy once. You know, I beat him easy again. I know what he's going to do. He could be in better shape. We can you can have, say, he had more time to condition. If he has diabetes, there's a reason you have diabetes. So I don't know what, you know, what's the all the excuses are. I mean, but, you know, I'll do it again. You know, I'll beat him again. What I'm saying on my path and my goal as a fighter, for me speaking, Comanche boy, I want to climb. I want to get to HBO. I want to get to Showtime. I'm trying to get there, you know. So if I have a bigger fight, a better opportunity, that's what I'm going to do. You know, down the road, if I go back and have to beat up Tracy again, I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now again, if it makes more sense for you to fight me because, of course, the money is better. I mean, man, don't pass that up, bro. Let's get us another one in. That's what I would do. I mean, you know. But if you'd rather fight somebody else right now, and, you know what I'm saying, give it some time and let this fight boil and build up, that's business too. Maybe that's what he's saying, and that's business too. However, we got to fight each other again because that's what Oklahoma people want to see. We're the biggest fighters here. I take my hat off to you, and I thank you for taking yours off to me, like you've already said, off in many ways, and I've said in many ways. And that's what we should give them, Comanche boy. We're both good fighters. You are a good fighter. You're strong. You came in, and you gave me a fight. And that's what I like. But we should give them a fight.
And, you know, the fans on Twitter are – everybody's heating up over this. A lot of the fans on Twitter now are saying this fight has to happen because the rivalry is heating up. And there is definitely a possibility it could happen in the future. I think it's time will tell. You know, we're going to have to see what happens. I think pretty much the ball's in Comanche Boy's court right now, obviously.
Man, Comanche Boy like me. I like that money. See it. Comanche Boy, let's get this money. Let's fight, and let's fight our hearts out. If you knock me out, then you knock me out. If I knock you out, then I knock you out. If we get a third fight because people love that one, man, that's what boxing's about. I'm not in this shit to lose my teeth or to get my brain beat in for nothing. I'm in this game to get money, and I hope you are too. That's what it's really about.
I mean, if you ain't in it to get your head, if you're not in it to get your head beat in, then you want to fight again, and you're going to get your head beat in again. I mean, come on now. I beat you. You know what, Tracy? I can say this because I beat you, and you know I beat you. And for you to say that you hit me with power, that's just a lie. You know you didn't hit me. You know you didn't. You swung hard shots, but if you're so powerful, if you really hit me, I would have went down. Which I thought you had a good chin.
Maybe I'm not so powerful. I thought you had a good chin. But Comanche Boy, if you're gonna sit there,
during that whole fight, I shook my head at every punch you threw because you missed from a long ways away. I closed my eyes. I took a nap.
All right. Well, maybe
I took a nap
then.
And I woke back up, and you were still swinging. I was like, this boy's slow. I mean, you know, grandma's over. You know, she's 42 years old. I mean, come on, man.
I like that. There you
come
go.
Come on, man.
Promote it. He beat me. And you know what? I'll be honored to have another fight. You know what? I'm going to say this for you. I'm going to prove myself. Bro, you was my first fight coming back. You are the warm-up. Prove myself.
Then you know what? You need another warm-up because it didn't happen.
That is so.
Your warm-up went backwards, man. For me to come
and fight you, the champion, the WBC champion, the NABA champion, and now the Oklahoma champion and all that, or whatever it was, the Midwestern, whatever championship you got, Karina? I don't even know what champ we was fighting for, but whatever it was, you got it now, okay? It don't even matter. But what I'm saying, for me to pick you, that should have been such a fucking insult that you would want to fight me again so you could knock me out. Man, I picked you like, hey, I'm going to fight this guy because I don't think he can beat me. This is the champion. I'm going to run through his ass.
You picked me because you have the financial support. It happened because you have the financial support. That's the only reason why.
I could have picked anybody to fight.
You could have picked someone that you could have beat, but you didn't. You wanted to go for the guy who you felt was on top where we're from.
Weak.
And you lost, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to go for the weak guy, and it was you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
You know, I beat you. You know?
Won the fight. But hey, look, they're going to pay you more money.
I'm the one laughing because I beat you. You know
what? Because other people look at you. When you walk into the store, people laugh. Comanche boy. OG Comanche boy. What you want me to call you, man? I don't give a fuck what you want me to call you. I'm going to call you whatever you want me to call you, but listen. Motherfucker, know you got your ass toe up. And when they see you now, you the only one laughing. Now, check that out. When they see you, bro, they pumping you up because they want to be on the team and you know, in the cheerlead a little bit. But other motherfuckers are saying, man, that dude got in his ass and he old like that. God damn, took him out the first fight. Come off the couch.
I came off the couch eating a bag of Doritos and a pop and told your ass up. Come on, Comanche boy, where you at? How did you have diabetes? Had you running, a dude with sugar diabetes, of 42 years old, had you missed it, I'm in such great shape, you're supposed to be a champion.
You damn sure was in shape, because you sure was moving. You was getting
Muhammad Ali. I was wondering why you didn't get tired.
You looked like you was in shape.
Ali, yeah, I did. Because you was slow.
Tell me this right here. How the fuck could you be in that good state? You never got tired one round.
If I was hard, I'd be breathing hard. But it wasn't hard. Every round, I was. How did that happen, though?
I ain't never seen nobody go ten rounds and not be breathing. How did you do that?
Huh? You know about that cake, piece of cake.
Piece of cake? Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I'm just saying, I don't know what kind of cake you eating, but I need some of that. Is it chocolate, vanilla? What the fuck kind of cake you eating?
You don't need that cake. You don't want that.
Share the cake, bro. Yeah, that's I was tired. People see me. Where's some water at? I can't catch this motherfucker. This is, I was going to ask, where's some water? Who took that body shot? That motherfucker was a fool. Give me some water. I can't catch him. You like that shit, don't you? Don't you, Comanche? I'll be at your ass. I'll be keeping it 100. That's what people love about Crazy Sneed. I keep it 100. But I still love you, though, man. I love you. I know.
That's what I was going to say. You guys,
I ain't mad at him. I could get him a hug today. I ain't mad at him. I'm going to still talk shit to him every time I see him. I ain't mad at him, though. That's just me.
I mean, it is what it is. You know,
you won. You're the champ. The O-line got beat.
You was the O-line. You were in your time, Tracy. You was the man.
Thank you.
And did you take those steps to beat, you know, like I tried and I failed with the Delvin fight? You know, did you do that? No, you didn't. You know, and I'm still trying, man. I've never
man,
quit.
You good, bro. I just
stopped.
Be talking shit to you, man. Listen, don't let that shit hurt your feelings. I just be talking shit. You good, bro. Look, you beat me. You went in there. You didn't get knocked out. You hit me hard.
I'm not saying nothing about it. I'm just saying I beat you. There's no controversy.
I don't know if it's fair and square. You beat me now, but I don't know if it's fair and square.
That's why I can say it confidently. And that's why I can laugh at the end, because you know I beat you. When we was in that ring and we was fighting, it was just you and me. And you remember when we looked each other in the eyes and you throw your punches and you'd miss, and I would see your face and I would smile at you and hit you back. I was the one doing that.
Oh, that's funny. I think you punched drunk. I think that's what it is. I think I hit you with some hard shots and you didn't feel that shit because you punched drunk. That's what I think. I think you fucked it. You might as well talk to an MRI. What's that shit, MRI? Go, man, go get your head checked. I knocked the shit out of you, bro, and you tell me you didn't get hit. Either you fucking dope or you fucking punch drunk. Which one is it? One of them. I'm telling you right now. You better look at that shit, bro. You get smashed on. Crack, crack, crack. And you talking about, he never hit me. Boy, what the fuck clouds you on? What kind of cake you eating? If you on like cloud 15, 25, what the fuck? You high up there. You got crack, man. You got crack. I know you hit me. I felt it. I'm trying to get up under that shit. But see, that lets you know
I'm telling you the truth. You know,
I ain't punch drunk.
You know, if
I ain't punch drunk. You hit me, though. You didn't hit me.
I told you that first round, I felt the strength. And, you know, you never hit me.
You gotta hit a whole lot, Comanche.
You never hit me. Not one time you never hit me.
You gotta hit a lot, man. You gotta hit a lot. Yeah, you did. You gotta hit a lot, man. I'm just saying, look,
Look, you want to fight because the judges said you want to fight. They're professional. So what I'm talking about, it don't matter what I'm talking about. Even though I'm mad, you know what I'm saying, I'm talking shit about the judges and all that. That's just my opinion. I got the right to have an opinion. But you won in their eyes, and that's how it is. But other people's
all right,
eyes,
well,
they don't,
well,
it's only,
let's
it's only
get,
so many
let's
people's
get
eyes.
To the question. Let's get to
other
but you know what, we can,
you
we,
won,
can talk,
me,
we can talk. Me and you can call me, and we can argue on the phone all day long. You know? Let's get back to the radio show. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes left here. We're going to kind of try to wrap it up here. I want to give you, Comanche Boy, a final statement, then we're going to go to Tracy. And then, at the end of your statement, just give people social networking sites or thank any sponsors that come to mind, if you would. Go ahead.
Comanche, you want to go first?
You.
You want to go ahead and go first? You want me to go?
No, we'll have Comanche go first.
Now, what am I saying? Say it again.
Just give a final thought, you know, a closing thought, and you get, thank any sponsors or mention any social networking sites that you may have.
First off, I want to thank the Comanche Nation, the greatest tribe in the world. I want to thank my sponsors, Comanche Nation Casino, Wind River, Harley-Davidson. I want to thank AISG, my boy Paul Lindsay, always backing me up. I really appreciate that. And thank all my Indian people across the United States, because it's hard representing. It's hard being a Native American when we don't have nobody to look up to and nobody to follow in footsteps. So, you know, I want to thank all my people, because I'm a country boy from Oklahoma. The only thing I have is a dream, and that's what it's all about for me. I sat many days on the floor watching that TV and wanted to be somebody big, and that's what it's about for me. And I'm still chasing. I'm still going after it. Now, I'm going to make the HBO. I'm going to make it to Showtime. If I don't, you know what? I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to go down trying. I'm going to go down with my spear in my hand and my shield in my arm. I'm going to go down fighting.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. Any Facebook page or YouTube account you want to let people know of?
You can check Comanche Boy 49 at Twitter. You can do ComancheBoy.com. You can do all the Comanche Boy George Sadnapper Facebook pages. You know, I'm here. You know, I'm here to fight. You know, I'll let my record, I'll let my fight, I'll let the critics, the media, I'll let everybody else do the talking. I'm gonna just keep on fighting. When I get to talk, I'll talk, but it's just about representing and shining, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well,
and you
do
good
a lot
at it, too.
For calling
and
in
thanks for the fight, bro. Hey, Comanche Boy, listen, man. I really want to. I want to tell you thank you for the fight. I hope we do get a rematch. I hope we do, but I just want to tell you thanks for the fight. And you're a good guy. I think you're a good champion, and you fought hard. So I just wanted to tell you that. But I do think we got to get it. I think we got to get it to rematch. I think we do.
I appreciate it, man.
I think it'd be good for both of us. Money-wise, definitely. You know what I'm saying? And then people want to see it. You know, people think you fight hard. They think I fight hard. You got a lot of fans, and so do I. So that's what it's about, man. You know, it ain't about all that just, you know what I'm saying, getting your brain punched in for nothing. If the money makes sense, that's what we should do. But thanks for that fight, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Comanche Boy. Take care, my friend.
All right, bro.
Take care. All right, Tracy, any closing thoughts? We've got about a minute left here.
Okay. Yeah, no, I want to say thank you to all my friends, all my fans, all my family. You know what I'm saying? I want to say thank you to National American Insurance. Brent LeGear is my manager. And, of course, he's my sponsor, my manager. Of course, he takes care of me a lot. I got a few other guys running to help out, like Express Pump Jack. I'd like to thank them as well. RIP, there's a gym in Challenger. Let me work out there for free. There's a gym up here in Oklahoma City called Key Health that also sponsored me, let me work out there for free. And it's a great gym, the one up here in Edmond. It's awesome. It's all different kinds of athletes come out of this gym. I think they got the best the personal trainers in the world here. They can help you lose that weight and help you get strong. This gym, I'm really, really good. I mean, it's a five-star gym. So I definitely want to say thank you to them for letting me work out there. And, again, my pops, Brent LeGear, thank you for backing me. Thank you for help managing me. Thank you for making the right fight for me. Matt LeGear is also his son. That's like my personal trainer. I just like to thank that whole family. So that's who I want to thank. And thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say what I had to say to Comanche Boy. And thanks for having him on there. I thought that was cool for us both to get to talk about it and get to say what he had to say, and he gets to hear what I got to say. So all that was really cool, you know. And I hope the fans got a whole lot out of it. And I hope they I don't know if he will – fight me again, up in a rematch, but
if he does, you know, that's it's definitely going to be great. You know what I'm saying? The guy's a good, strong fighter. He's not scared. He's going to come to fight me, and that's what makes fights. So I'm going to talk shit, and I'm going to pump him up, and I'm going to get him ready if he will fight me. And I think he knows. 42, 43, 45 years old, I'm going to be there to fight and beat the brakes off his ass. He knows that. So
yeah.
Thanks again, Bob, for having me on there.
No problem, and, brother. Listen, we'll do it again in the future. Thanks for coming on. Big thanks to Comanche Boy, and we'll talk to you sometime down the road, my friend.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
Take care. All right, that's another jam-packed edition of Carson's Corner. I want to tell everybody you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. Make sure to check out my YouTube videos at youtube.com/BobCarsonMMA. And like the Carson's Corner Facebook page at facebook.com/CarsonsCorner13. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.